Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 45, and let's read together verses 17 through 21, and then we can be seated. 145 or 45? Yes, Psalms 145, starting with verse 17 through 21, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, we're asking right now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Call Upon the Name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. And throughout various trials and tribulations in our life, many of us will find ourselves in certain predicaments of life where we have no other choice but to call upon the name of the Lord. We can call our spouse, we can call our children, we can call our grandchildren, we can call our doctors, we can call anybody. But I'm here to let us know that the best person to call is God himself. Can I get amen? And so let's read this together. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord perseveres or preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. May the Lord have a blessing to the hear and read of his word. You may be seated. Praise God. Saints of God, right here on the screen, I wrote, many of us are familiar with one of the most interesting and amazing events in the Old Testament, but we may not understand how it applies to us today. And so in just a few minutes, we're going to embark and journey back in ancient Israel, and we're going to see a familiar story. We need to read it again because there's so much in it. And I'm praying that God will reveal what he needs to reveal so that we can have application. In other words, we can apply it to today, not just 4,000 years ago. Can I get amen? Amen. And so after all, saints, how could an event that happened those many years, thousands of years ago, be relevant in the 21st century? Well, it's because nothing in the Bible is unnecessary, unimportant. Everything in the Bible is important. Can I get an amen? Everything is. So saints, although civilizations and cultures, they frequently change. Right now, we're in this weird one. Never seen it before in my whole entire life, where the whole secular nation has rejected God. The school system is so secular. Matter of fact, when my son, when he graduated from Eastlake 2004, he would initiate a youth Bible study for lunchtime. Right next door, there was a Satanist one. Never in your wildest dreams. Right next door, these ones are studying about Satan, and over here, the Word of God. In the public school system. Lord, help us. Help us, God. And so they frequently change. The principles found in Scripture remain constant. Why? Because our God never changes. Can I get amen? Amen. Jesus never changes. He has given us this book right here to teach us who he is and how he operates and how we can apply the word of God in our lives. Can I get an amen? So when we see if God doesn't change, then when he moves, we need to move with him. Can I get amen? Look what it says in Malachi right up here. For I am the Lord, I do not what? Change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. What he means right here in this scripture, in the context of it, is Israel committed so many abominations. Now, what he could have done, he could have destroyed them and start a whole new other nation. But because he changes not, his grace has continued to be shown amongst his people. He didn't consume it because he's graceful. He allows time for repentance to take place. Can I get amen? Because our humanity automatically will gravitate to sin. It's automatic. It's like a magnet. You ever put a magnet up to a metal object? It's going to want to cling to it right away. Well, we need to understand that because God changes not, it's also reiterated in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews. Jesus Christ is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. So, saints of God, the book of Genesis records the story of Joseph, who was sold into Egyptian slavery by his jealous brothers, and God gave him the interpretation of Pharaoh's dream, and Joseph was promoted to the position of overseer of Egypt. His interpretation and wise advice, it saved the Egyptians from starvation due to that extended drought. Remember, the dream was it was going to be 7 years of plentiful and abundance, and then 7 years of drought. And so God used Joseph. And so the Israelites who came from the desert land and came into Egypt, they flourished. And they started to populate there because that's where the food source was because of Joseph. And so during their 400 stay, things turned. New pharaohs risen up, and they didn't remember Joseph anymore. So the pharaohs that were there looked at the Hebrews as, we're going to incarcerate them, we're going to enslave them, and we're going to make idols and build their kingdom through their blood, sweat, and tears. And so what turned out to be something marvelous and wonderful, and what Joseph did, they came into bondage by the Egyptian rulers. And so, because the one and last Pharaoh during the time of their bondage, his heart was so hardened, he was stubborn. So the Lord had to send 10 plagues to the land of Egypt. And he had to physically bring a manifestation of the providence that he had already proclaimed. He already saw Israel in their own land, but they had to go through. I'm here to let you know there's things that God is doing in your life, but you have to go through. Can I get amen? And there's a process in going through. God is teaching you. God is molding you. God is shaping you. God is doing wonderful things even in the midst of turmoil. And so, finally, when the last plague resulted in the loss of the firstborn of Egypt, Pharaoh relented, and then he let the Hebrews go. So, let's look at this story. We need to go back to this story and read again, and then we're going to break it down. Amen? So, turn with me to Exodus 14. And I got the word up here in case you didn't bring your Bibles. Praise God. You should be bringing your word. Amen? Amen. Don't leave home without it. All right. So verse 1, and it reads, now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-Hazeroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite of Baal Zephon, and you shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land, and the wilderness has closed them in. Now, this is a scene where God had sent the 10 plagues. Pharaoh said, get out of here. Take all of your whole entire nation out of our land and go. Because his son was taken by that last plague. And so all the firstborns were dying, dropping dead. And they said, no, their God is God. We got to let these people go. And so now they have journeyed and on their way now to where God has promised them the promised land. And so verse 4, then I will harden, look at this. There's a purpose in all this. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and all the army, and the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, and they did so. I'm here to let you know that God is the one that hardens hearts. If you want to stay out there away from the will of God, he will harden your heart even harder, that you won't come back. That's right. And whatever you're toying with and fondling with, God will harden your heart. He will not give you the desire for him anymore, and you'll wallow in that sin. We have to be real careful on what we entertain. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at verse 5 here. Now, it was told that the king of Egypt, that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So it didn't dawn on them, who's going to build the next pyramid? Who's going to tend to the fields? Who's going to harvest the grain? All that finally hit them smack in the face because millions of them had left. It's almost like when someone that you have taken total advantage over, I've seen this in marriages, that they took advantage that that person would always be there, but yet was neglected. And then finally that one walks away. And now you're going, oh my gosh. Well, they didn't have the love for the people, but they needed the people. And now they're gone. And so let's look at this. Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Verse 7. Also he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over each and every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. Verse 9. So the Egyptians pursued them, and the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, the horsemen and the army, overtook them camping by the sea, by Phi Harioth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so that they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. You see, they thought, as they left, that they were headed to their freedom. They thought right then and there that God was going to do something miraculous, which he did. But let me just say this. The enemy is relentless. He's a relentless foe. He will not give up in pursuing you to torment you. You may have victory in certain areas of life, but let me just say this. The devil will come back again to visit you. You know what? He wants to know, did God really show them now what to do? Or are they going to still fall for my traps? My, my, my. Let's go now to verse 11. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Oh, wow. They saw the 10 plagues. They saw the firstborn die. And now they see the enemy coming. And that's our human nature. We forget what God has done. We forget right away. Oh, wait a minute. If God delivered me back then, he could deliver me now. And he can deliver me again. Can I get an amen? Look at this. They murmured and complained. See, because there was a sudden change. There was a shift in direction. And now they had to go through this direction. And then when the enemy showed his face, they fell with fear. They started blaming the man of God. You took us here to die. Why have you dealt so, look at this. Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? They wanted to go back to bondage. Some people who get delivered from drugs and alcohol and pornography and all kinds of manner of iniquity, all of a sudden they look back and says, I want to go back to Egypt because I don't like the things of God. Hallelujah. You're not going to get this message on a Sunday morning service all the time. Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Where was their faith? What happened to the 10 plagues? They came out of there with all kinds of treasure, gold. Look at the verse 13 here. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you. Say that with me. The Lord will fight with you and for you. Can I get amen? And you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me and tell the children of Israel to go forward? Look at verse 16 here. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. What? And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. You know what? He hardened their hearts to continue to pursue. You got to catch the mind of God in this. You got to see how God will scheme up things in our own life to teach us a valuable lesson. Can I get amen? Look at this. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians and they shall follow them. So I, God says, I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all the army, his chariots and his horsemen. Verse 18. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went before them and stood behind them. I'm here to let you know, saints of God, that God is always with us. Can I get amen? The day that we were pushed through our mother's womb, God already saw us in glory. He already knew who you were. He already appointed you. He already approved you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Before the foundation of the world. See, we don't understand that until we come into salvation. And then once he gives us eyes to see and ears to hear, now we can reflect and say, oh my. God was with me when I was conceived in my mother's womb. He made sure that we didn't get aborted. He made sure that we would live till this very day to reaffirm our convictions and who God is in our life. Can I get amen? Amen. But we have to look back because this is us. When trials and tribulations and certain situations of life that cause us to have a sudden change. Man, we got to look back and say, God, If you did it for them, you will do it for me. Can I get an amen? Or what he's done for you, he will do it again. Thank you, God. We serve a mighty God. I hope you know that. Thank you, God. Verse 20. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one. And it gave light by night to the other so that the one did not come near the other one at night. Look at God taking care of his people. Verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Man, I would have loved to have seen that. How many believe that God can still do those things in the elements of this earth? I hope you know that. He took the addictions and he delivered you with one touch of his hand. Come on. He delivered us, filled us with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, God. That's God Almighty. That's only his hand that can do that. It wasn't a social club. It wasn't a religious organization. It was God's mighty hand all by himself that saved us. Thank you, God. And so the children of Israel went out into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them, to their right hand and to their left hand. You remember the old Cecil B. DeMille movie? Huh? I still watch that movie every year. Now I have a more knowledge and wisdom about, and I see Jesus in the whole movie now. We didn't see it at the time. We thought, oh my gosh, when is that going to be over? Because the Wizard of Oz is coming on after that. Oh, come on. It came on at the same time when we were kids, weren't we? Jesus, help us. Look at verse 23 here. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them in the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. Let me just say this. As the enemy continues to pursue you, even in the midst of your trial, God is on the other side of the fence dealing with the devil. Can I get amen? He's dealing with old Slewfoot. Oh, yes. Look at this in verse 25. And he took their chariot wheels, so they drove them with difficulty. Just imagine having a horse carry your chariot and you got no wheels. It's just dragging with sparks over the rocks. And the Egyptians, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea and the waters, and let them come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and their horsemen. Verse 27, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the morning appeared. The sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. When God gets rid of your enemies, he does it good. We're the ones that go back into Egypt and try to resurrect what God has already killed. He don't do that. He counts all that stuff that we once were entangled as dead. But we want to cross back over. Hallelujah. And play with zombies. Jesus, help us. Look at verse 29 here. But the children of Israel walked on the dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them, to the right hand and to their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hands of Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. You got to look back in your past and see that the things that I was entangled with is dead. And there's no need to go back and play with the dead. Can I get an amen? Because we are in the midst of the living. And we serve a living God. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Hallelujah. So we got to break this down. And I'm going to do it with the time frame. Because I know some of you want to bail out of here and get some of that basole going. But let me just sow the word right now. Amen. We need to be in the word first. Can I get amen? Amen. So there are five principles we can learn from the Israelites' great escape. Number one, God always knows which way is best. Or do you just make up your minds, I'm going this way, even though you hear God's word? And you still go, no, I'm going this way. This is the way I want to go. Although Pharaoh had let the children of Israel leave Egypt, saints, after the 10th plague, shortly afterward, he regretted his decision. He assembled his army and set out to bring them back. Under God's leadership, the Israelites had arrived and set up camp near the Red Sea when Pharaoh and his forces tried to overtake them. Upon seeing the Egyptian army coming toward them, they realized they were trapped. So what was the first thing that set in? Fear. But Moses knew who to call out to. Can I get amen? The other ones weren't calling out to God. They were calling out for the head of Moses. We followed you to lead us to our death. They were all just, man, they wanted to choke him like a rubber chicken. Pap, 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 pap. Yeah, they did. Yeah, they just forgot. They just got delivered. Their backs scarred up from the whips. Many of them died in the mud pits. Many of them were tortured for insubordination. And they wanted to go back, and they were telling Moses, look what you brought us to. I just recall my life. My brother can attest. When I was going through the dope deals and all that, and I was still married to my first wife, none of us knew the Lord. None of us were saved. And when I got saved, he removed everything. And I ended up living in a two-car garage in Paradise Hills. At one point, I didn't even have a vehicle. I drove my 10-speed from Paradise Hills to 24th Street because I was working in the lumberyard. But you know what? I was so happy. I was so happy, and I was filled with joy because I no longer was in bondage to what God had to remove from my life. There are some things that God has to remove in your life. And it hurts. Change is not appropriate at times for us. We're comfortable. We take comfort in certain things. But when God has to make a radical change, sometimes we're going to question God. They did it no differently, did they? They wanted to kill Moses. So he was Israel's God, and the only true God was the God of Israel. Therefore, whenever we face, saints, difficult times, we too should call upon the name of the Lord that he orchestrates such situations for his divine purposes to demonstrate his glory and to show us his ways that are always his ways are better than our ways. Can I get amen? Amen. And so, how many of you believe that our enemy is a relentless foe? Huh? How many of you believe that he's relentless? Remember when Jesus came on the scene and John the Baptist was baptizing people for repentance. And he was in the wilderness. And when he saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And when he came into the water, he said, I'm not even worthy to even tie your sandals. So Jesus was the first one to demonstrate baptism right there through an act of obedience. And when the Holy Ghost fell on him, immediately after he got baptized, God led him into the wilderness. And who is there? This is why this is so critical, men, to be in your word. This is why it's so critical, you believer, to be in your word, especially with new believers, because as soon as you get saved, old Slewfoot is going to try to trip you up. He will come and tempt you. He will try to bring you back because he's mad you left his camp. Oh, yeah. I got some word to back that up. Let's look at this for a moment. In Luke, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by who? By his friends? By his primo, John the Baptist? By who? Old Slewfoot himself. Look at that. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. What has the enemy whispered in your ear when things don't look good? Don't look good. Some people count out people. Oh, he's done. It's not over till God said it's over. Can I get amen? Amen. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what? Word of God. You got to get the word in you. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. This is what he's done to these celebrities, these movie stars that hate God, that mock God. They don't want nothing to do with God. They're into Satanism. They're into humanistic point of views. And they're all secular gurus who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So Satan came to them and said, I'm going to give you all the world if you bow down and worship me. So where do you think all these millions come from? These people that live high on a hog and they hate us deplorables. Taking them high on the mountain, showed them all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I'll give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me and I will give it to whomever I wish. You see, the devil will try to let you know that he has all authority and he don't. And his days are numbered. So the next time he comes and buffets you, you tell him, hey, listen, old Slewfoot, your days are numbered and you're about to be dropped into the lake of fire. Come here no more. Look at this. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And this is the lie that the enemy has sown into all those who chase after all these idolatrous things in our nation. Last night we had to endure. We're trying to have a quiet moment, but our next door neighbor, seems like every 3 weeks, they're there in that backyard, man, just hooting and hollering and beepity bleep 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 and all that kind of music going on. And, you know, I've been long suffering. But, you know, if it continues, I'm going to have to say something. It's too loud. Keep that thing down. Or take it inside your house. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said, get behind me, Satan. And this is what we need to tell the devil. When he comes to try to rob you of your joy, when he tries to come and steal what God has given you, when he comes to tell you lies that he has spun and what even people have said about you, which are lies that he has spun, you need to say, Satan, get thee behind me. Can I get amen? Amen. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only you shall serve. You tell old Slewfoot that. But you know he doesn't want to serve God. Look at this. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall... Look. Satan knows the word. He took this right out of Psalms 91. He knows the word too. And he knows his days are short. This is why he's causing havoc in some people's lives and their families. He's trying to destroy them. Why? Because they don't have the word in them. So what? When you don't have the word in you, then you're left with a spirit of confusion. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. So just jump off the cliff and the angels will come and rescue you. Oh, go ahead and sleep with that person. It's okay. God knows. God knows your heart is pure. And then you fall in for that trap. And things start falling off. Look at verse 11. In their hands, they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall what? Not tempt the Lord your God. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Did you catch that? He comes back to revisit. See, when God establishes you in the faith and he starts raising you up, he's got dominions watching over you. Oh, it's time now. They're moving a little too much toward God. Let's go stumble them. Oh, yeah. Jesus, help us. Let's look at our second principle here. God is faithful to provide for his people. Can I get amen? Saints, when the Israelites lived as Egyptian slaves, they had nothing. Yet they came out with the riches of the land because the Lord used the 10 plagues to compel the Egyptians to supply them with whatever they wanted. Take whatever you need, just get out of my hair, or the lack thereof. The citizens were so anxious to get rid of them that they gave them their gold, their silver, their jewels, and their clothing. I like what James wrote. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the what? The crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. See, these promises are only to those who love the Lord. There's some people that just say, yo, praise the Lord. And they come and say, hallelujah, hey, yeah, And they go home and live like the devil, cursing each other out, drinking it up, smoking it up, sleeping it up, and then come back, praise the Lord. But if you truly love the Lord, you will want to walk in obedience. You will love the things of God. You will want to walk in his ways. You'll want to please him. Listen, if I didn't even attempt to show any affection toward my wife in these past 22 years, she would have been gone already. But when you show true affection, especially to God, man, the blessings are tenfold to come upon you. Did you know all he wants is that you would climb on his lap and say, Abba, Father. Yeah, he knows the laundry list already. Yeah, he knows all those things that you bring up to him all the time. You know what? He just wants your heart to say, I love you, God. I love you for creating me. I love you how you bless my life and what you're doing in my life. That's what God wants to hear. He'll take care of all the other things. He always has, hasn't he? Has he left us homeless? Yeah, you may have only $10 in your pocket right now. He still loves you. You're still going to get a meal today. You still got a roof over your head, right? You still have clothes on your back, praise God. Some of you, he's blessed with beautiful children, praise God, and grandchildren. Some of you went back and won your parents to the Lord. And your grandparents. Come on. God has done something marvelous. And we got to remember that. Can I get an amen? Let's look at our third principle. God is always present to guide his people. You know, when Elijah slew the 350 prophets, there was a challenge on Mount Carmel. We've been there. Remember, we went to Israel. We saw Mount Carmel. And right on that mountaintop, there was two altars, one of Baal and one of the Lord. And the one of Baal, they were all crying out for their God to consume the offering. Some of them, man, were pulling out their hair. They were cutting themselves. And so Elijah started mocking. Oh, he must be on the toilet. I don't think he hears you right. Oh, no, wait. He's on vacation. Because their God was not God. And when Elijah called upon heaven and said, consume this right now, God immediately came and lapped it all up, including the water that he smothered the whole entire offering. I'm here to let you know, saints of God, I don't care what you're going through, God is with you always. He's concerned about us. He's with us everywhere, which way we go. And although the Israelites thought they were trapped by the Egyptian army, in reality, God was the one who put them in this impossible situation because he had a great goal in mind that they couldn't perceive. You see, this is where, when you find yourself in predicaments, the best thing to do is to praise your way out. God, thank you. Yeah, it hurts. Yeah, I don't love change. I'm comfortable. Don't change me, God. But when change comes, he's doing it for purpose. He's doing something in you that you had no clue what he wants to do in your life. And his plan is better. Can I get an amen? Praise will see you through. You worship him. Praise him. These stiff necks didn't want to. They wanted to just grab Moses by the neck. And here's the thing. That's the residue of bondage, because all they knew was the whip. All they knew was the beatings. All they knew was what was the Egyptians just down, degrading them and just laying their mouths on them on how deplorable they were, that they weren't nothing. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to come and tell you that you about nothing. Our response, though, saints of God, is that we should trust the Lord and obey whatever he tells us to do. Amen? A lack of understanding of all the details is no excuse for disobedience and doubt. Can I get an amen? Just because you're going through doesn't mean, okay, well, I'm just going to disobey now. Look at what it says in Hebrews. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain what? Mercy and find grace in the time of need. This is where we have to go and we have to sprawl out before God. Say, God, show me your mercy. Show me your grace. Hallelujah. King David, he had enemies chasing him all day long. Yes, he did. This is why we have these great psalms and these hymns. Why? Because he went through some things. Yes, he did. Look what he wrote here. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Oh my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Those who be ashamed who deal treacherously without a cause. My goodness. God wants you to just sprawl out to him and love him. Love him through what you're going through. Can I get amen? Just love him through. So, Lord, despite of my condition, despite of my situation, despite of what you're doing in my life, I'm going to love you through it, God.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to bless your name, God. He's worthy. Come on, let's just take time out and just worship him. Come on, worship him right now. Say, God, I love you, Lord. Jesus, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I glorify you, God. I magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we bless your holy name, God. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy are you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, yes, thank you, God. Man, I'm telling you, God has so much reservoir. He has so much, hallelujah, in his wealth to continue to bless us. Hallelujah, abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for in the midst of your trouble. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Let's look at number four. God's simplest command can result in surprising and powerful consequences when we obey him. The Israelites were no match for the Egyptian army with all their chariots. These former slaves were not trained soldiers and had no equipment which to fight them. They were slaves. All they had was some clothes and sandals, if any, and food that, and the riches that they took from them. They weren't equipped with warfare. Their only hope was to trust the Lord now, who by his grace had kept them alive for all those years in the land of Egypt and caused them to proliferate into a great multitude. They multiplied. They got busy in the midst of their hardship. They still enjoyed each other. Can I get amen? Look at this in Exodus. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today." This is what you need to tell the devil today. Hallelujah. You tell the devil today, "I'm standing still." Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm going to see God that's going to see me through. He's going to deliver me. Hallelujah. And you have no say in this matter in the name of Jesus. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more. You need to tell old Slewfoot, "I don't want to see you no more." Can I get amen? Thank you, Lord. And God, look what God said. God said to Moses, and the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it." God was saying, "Listen, I already delivered you. Now just keep moving forward." "Yeah, oh, yeah, but God, it doesn't feel good." No, he didn't ask us if it felt good. He said to move forward. Hallelujah. You just got to just say, "Man, I'm going through. I'm just going to keep going through. I'm not going to look to the left. I'm not going to look to the right. I'm going to keep moving forward. There's no looking back. I don't want to go back to old dead things." Can I get amen? Those things are smelly already. Those things stink it by now. Hallelujah. That's right. And the children of Israel should go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. He just encouraged them to keep moving forward. After God sent the 10 plagues, he said, "Why are you crying out to me? I just delivered you. Just keep going." Man, just imagine when they saw the walls of the sea divide. What a sight to see. And I'll bet, I can imagine, some of them that were going through the rest of it, they were probably going, "How long is this going to hold up? How long is this going to hold up?" That's right. And when God heals you, how long is this healing going to last? Lord, have mercy. I'm telling you, if there's any stiff-necked people, that's us. Us. I'm in there with you. So saints, as the people marched forward at God's command, what seemed like an unsurmountable situation became a miraculous deliverance. The pillar of cloud moved behind the Israelites to separate the Egyptians from them and then crossed over the seabed between the two walls of the water. And when the Egyptians followed, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea and the water flowed back, killing all, every one of them. My goodness. That you've heard those old Pentecostal songs. Satan thought he had me. I got away. You remember those songs, man? We used to hit that tambourine and bam, bam, bam. It came from these stories. That's where it came from. Because they were on, I'm telling you, those Egyptians were on their tailcoats. And then God said, now it's time. Wow. So when Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, the water flowed back, killing Pharaoh and all the entire army. Did you catch that? So be careful on the movie Ten Commandments, because this shows that Pharaoh was still on the other side. Uh-uh. Word of God says he was. Pharaoh got killed too. They all went down. They all went down. Hallelujah. We must never look at our situations based on our own abilities, but on God's faithfulness. Then in obedience, we should follow his commands and trust him to work out the situation and handle all the consequences, because they all belong to God. So our last principle is this. Don't look for someone to blame for your circumstance, but look for God to help you. Can I get amen? Amen. We need to look to God. Listen, there's nothing wrong by getting comfort from the saints, your spouse, your friends, whatever. But they don't have the answers like God would have the answers. He has the best answer. Can I get amen?
That's right.
And so when the Israelites first realized the Egyptians were closing in on them, they said to Moses, look what they said to Moses. Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us? Bring us out of Egypt. Again, they were reiterating, regurgitating foolishness. It's always easier, saints, to blame someone else for our difficulties rather than to trust God's purposes and his faithfulness in every situation at hand. So in closing, Isaiah said it well. Isaiah said it like this. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. How many believe that? You got to believe that. Oh, that's right. I don't care what the doctor said about you. I don't care what report. I don't care. They said, well, we saw this on your test, and the blood is not right, and all just, okay, thank you. And now you go lay it at the feet of Jesus. Oh, this is what they said about me, God. This is what they said about me, God. But I'm going to believe you. And if they are true, you're the one that can change it, God. Hallelujah. Part the Red Sea in my life, oh God. Hallelujah. Because I know you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Where does it say that? In God's word. He says it right here in Ephesians. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think according to the power that works in us. It's the power of the Holy Ghost living inside you. We are different from the world. I hope you know that. We're not vessels of dishonor no more. We're vessels of honor and glory. And to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. That means this generation. Can I get an amen? Come on, give them a shout of praise. Give them a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I love when the child says, praise the Lord. For even out of the mouth of babes will come forth the praises that's worthy. Hallelujah to his name. Listen, before we close, there's a little light fellowship next door. Okay, we'll spend some time there. And then please remember to see the Ming family. They prepared some pozole and some food. They just want to have a little fellowship with us. God bless them with a lovely place. I went there and prayed over their home. Hallelujah, that God will encamp his angels around them. Amen. So please just go out and say praise the Lord. And if pozole is not your thing, that's okay. Just go there and give them a hug. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, when someone opens up their door to come and fellowship, we ought to just say, hi, praise the Lord. I'm here. Thank you, God. Give them a hug, man. That's right. Sometimes you put something in their hand and say, praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. Come on. Can I get an amen on that? That's right. And listen, so when we close right now, I want us to ponder on this message that we just spoke. And I've got just a couple of questions that will challenge us. Amen. And so number one, what is your first reaction when faced with a desperate situation? What do? Do you go to God? Or do you run to urgent care? You go to God first? Or you go to Costco pharmacy? Where do you go? Or what if something drastic happened in your life? You run to God or do you run to people? I think God has the answers. He knows all things, amen? Number two, have you ever tried to find your own way out instead of relying on the Lord? I've done this before. I think this works. God said, well, wait, slow your roll. I got something laid out for you. If you follow and trust me. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at this. If so, what happened? See, a lot of us love what that commercial on Burger King says, having it my way. But God is saying, no, trust me. I'll do something special and mighty in your life. Amen? And lastly, which of these five principles do you need to apply to your current or your next difficult problem? I'll tell you, you know, out of 31 years of walking with Christ, what I have observed is that majority of issues in our lives are always in marriages. And then children, they get reared up. Singles, they still go through. They're not immune from difficulty. So you're not off the hook, singles. But for those who are married, it's a challenge. And when the situations arise, it's okay, how do we handle this? Do you kneel down together and pray and seek his face? Or do you turn to one another? Wah, 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 wah. Choice is simple. I'd rather be at peace in my heart is when we turn to God. Can I get amen? Amen. And so I'm praying that whoever's listening to this message that God is moving on your heart right now. And if you never received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and King and Lord, we want to pray with you. We praise God for the messages that go around the world from here. And they download them and they listen and they share them out and they say thank you. And so, God, I'm praying for that person right now who is listening and they never given their heart to you, God. Whoever you are, God is speaking right now directly to your heart. And if you want to receive them as Savior, as Lord, we're going to pray as a family together with you. And hopefully you'll take heed in your heart that you need God. And that you're tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of things in your life. And that you need Jesus. If that's you, pray this simple prayer. We're going to pray it with you by faith. And let God do the miraculous in your life. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Come on, Jesus is worthy. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.